Ramsey TV.
Hi everybody, Martin Sender here. Look, I feel like I owe you a bit of an apology for yesterday's video. It was kind of a throwaway video and I felt bad publishing it. I wanted to get you something. And the only reason I thought that it might have some spiritual value to it is that I wanted you to see my mood before the conference in order to provide the contrast for those of you who were not at the conference. Well, yes, those of you who were at the conference and those of you who watched the conference online, live. And if you haven't, you can go to my homepage, martinsender.com, and you know, you have to wade through. It's like open mic time. God help me, I don't know what I said on open mic, so. But I am who I am, on camera, off camera, so it's all gonna be entertaining, I'm sure. I have nothing to hide, so it's like, you know, politicians have to be careful. Me, I don't have to be careful. The conference was amazing. Dave and Diane Ward, for the first time, I mean, they acted like seasoned veterans as far as running a conference goes. But I thought it might be valuable for you, those who have seen the spiritual meat that went out at the conference, and then saw my disposition at Fort Lauderdale Airport getting ready to fly to Phoenix. It's just night and day. And I guess the spiritual value that I thought might be there is that it's not the vessel, it's not the messenger, it's the message. The message. Because the messenger is tired, and the messenger is beat up, and the messenger is looking for the snatching away. Speaking of the snatching away, you know, I'm pretty confident that it's soon, but I would sidle up to, well, first I have to say this, people always sidle up to me and they say, Martin, you think you're pretty sure, like, it's close, right? It's close. Yeah, it's close, of course. All the signs, the September 23rd, 2017 sign, the exponential increase of the technology aligning with Daniel chapter 12, I mean, the rise of Islam, the technology available for the mark of the beast, I mean, and the development of the beast system, AI, it's all there. It's all there. And they would say, yeah, I thought so. I thought so. But then I would sidle up to people. Hey, Dave, like you do think like this is the time, right? I'm looking for confirmation, you know? Hope that doesn't shake your faith or anything, but they all said, yeah. So we're not dreaming this up. And it has to happen sometime. I think I said that at the conference. Everything in God's Aeonian, on God's Aeonian calendar has to happen. Israel prayed in Egypt for 300 years to be delivered from Egypt, and some generations lived and died. But the day came, didn't it? The day came. Israel prayed for their Messiah for a couple thousand years. Many generations came and went. But the day came when the angel Gabriel announced to Miriam that she was to be with child and that the Father would be the Holy Spirit. The day came, didn't it? The day came for the glorified Christ to call Saul on the road to Damascus in order to bring a message that has been in God's heart since before the disruption of the world. Talk about patience. God goes through the whole Israel thing as a backdrop, as a contrast, and then finally the day arrives when he calls a man on the road to Damascus, a Pharisee, soon to become an ex-Pharisee, to give him, again, the evangel, the gospel, the good news that was in God's heart all along. So if you see a little bit of the patience of God, you can see that patience being one of the fruit of the Spirit, I believe we have it, but the day will come, the day comes. And they were looking for the snatching away in the first century. They were. And so we're 2,000 years past. Oh, not to mention counting the years from Adam. There's another indication. How many did I give you? 5 or 6 or 7 indications. And I tell you this, watch for major earthquakes coming up soon. Everything's going to start happening faster and faster and faster and faster. I'm no genius to predict earthquakes. Jesus said that would happen. But it's time's getting short. So big rumblings. All God has to do is push his little finger and you got a 9-point earthquake. So I hope there was some spiritual value in that lousy video yesterday. My apologies, in a way. But in another way, you know, I want you to see everything. So I want to make a spiritual, scriptural point today. It's going to be a short video. I'm taking off today, heading back to Fort Lauderdale. Still at the Best Western, where the conference was held. Again, go to martinsender.com, watch the conference. You can scrub ahead and find the talks. And the testimonies were great. Wow, you really need to watch the testimonies. And probably the crosstalk in between is probably pretty entertaining, especially since I was the one usually mic'd, and I forgot that I had the mic on. I can't believe I'm recommending you do this, but anyway, in 2 Timothy, Paul talks about those who are teaching and how they are to have patience toward those who are antagonistic to the truth. Slave of the Lord must not be fighting, but be gentle toward all, apt to teach, bearing with the evil, with meekness, training those who are antagonizing. Now, you can bear with evil and try to get rid of the evil at the same time. You're bearing with it. In other words, you're not impatiently or with panic trying to get rid of evil. It's a considered, it's a practiced, a measured resistance to evil and the desire to dispel the evil with sound teaching. When Paul says bearing with evil, he doesn't mean just sit back and let the evil go. And he's our example. The greatest evil in the world are the lies of Satan, as manifested by false teachings that ruin people's lives. Paul taught against that actively. At the same time, bearing with it. You can teach somebody and try to tell them the truth, and if they just walk away, you have to bear with that. You see what I mean? Bearing with it doesn't mean not doing anything about it. It just means putting in your 2 cents worth and then bearing with the result. Gentle toward all. Paul's my example when on the island of Cyprus, he told Bar-Jesus, the Jewish magician who was withstanding the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, from hearing the truth, "Oh, offspring of knavery, offspring of Satan, son of the devil, how long will you pervert the straight ways of the Lord? Enemy of all righteousness." He could just like rip the guy a couple, three, four new ones and blinded him. Was that being gentle toward all? Well, I think when Paul said these things, he was being very calm. He wasn't out of control. "Oh, son of the adversary, enemy of all righteousness, how long you continue to pervert the straight ways of the Lord? I contend to you that you can say that while bearing with the evil, while being patient, actually, and I think it's gentle compared to smashing the guy in the mouth with a brick." Yes, yes, gentle. Yes, it was a verbal rebuke. That's gentle compared to like jousting him, get a little jousting stick or elbowing him in the face, putting the half Nelson on him, breaking his neck, hitting him over the head with a chair, right? And here's the thing, with meekness training, those who are antagonizing, with meekness training. Do you know what the Greek word for training means? To hit. So the trick for the evangelist is we are to meekly hit people. That's a good trick. Try to do it. I do it every day. I meekly hit people. I'm a very meek guy, mild-mannered, I'm quiet, but I hit them at the same time. Hit them with the truth. I hit them with my best shot right between the eyes with the Word of God. To see whether God may be giving them repentance, just means to change the mind, to come into a realization of the truth. Look what I'm going to contrast here. For them to come to a realization of the truth, because at the same time you're bearing with evil, you're heralding truth. At the same time you're being patient, you're heralding truth. At the same time you're meekly hitting them, you're heralding the truth. Why? For them to change their mind about the crap they're believing now, come to a realization of the truth, and then they will be sobering up out of the trap of the adversary, having been caught alive by him for that one's will. Look at what is being compared here. Repentance, to come to a realization of the truth, that's the remedy to being caught in the trap of the adversary. So this tells me that the trap of the adversary has to do with believing lies, because the remedy is coming to a realization of the truth. This is perfectly corroborated in Ephesians 6. Sorry, folks, I'm tired, like you and I believe. This is corroborated in Ephesians 6, you've watched the shows in the last few Sundays, the armor of God, that Satan's number one weapon is lies today, lies. And so that's all he has left is lies. And it's confirmed here in 2 Timothy. What do you have to do to sober up and come out of the trap of the adversary? What do you have to do? Come to a realization of the truth. What does that tell you? The trap of the adversary is lies. As I've said many times, we are in an information war. And an information war is fought with logic, with sound words. It's not fought with Pentecostal spiritual manifestations. It's fought with teaching. And in 2 Timothy, Paul is telling teachers the disposition they ought to have to teach. I hope this has been helpful. I'll be getting home tonight. I wanted to hope I get this video. I got about an hour here. I want to get this video downloaded on my computer, and then I want to get it uploaded to YouTube so you have a video tomorrow. Again, I apologize for yesterday's video. Please forgive me for that. And I pray to God that there's some spiritual benefit to it. Please watch the conference teachings from the weekend here in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm so unconscious of any of the cameras or anything when I'm teaching the Word of God. I watched some of the footage and it's like, was that me? I mean, I just totally lose myself. And it's such an amazing thing. And the people here were so great. Everybody was just eating the Word, eating the Word. They were just so hungry for it. They were glued to every word. And when you see that 11-year-old girl who gave a testimony, that she really stole the show. So thank God for her and for her father and for everybody that was at the Phoenix, Arizona conference. Grace and peace and love to you all. I'll be back in Fort Lauderdale tonight, and I'll see you again tomorrow.